Blog Talk Radio.
Imam Shahid Shabazz. Today we will have a spiritual discussion on an analogy of Cain killing Abel. That's Cain killing Abel. I know most of you have heard this story. Imam Shahid Shabazz is presenting an analogy of the story of Cain and Abel, the two sons of Adam in religious scripture. The analogy is that Cain gave Abel cocaine so that it would impair Abel's brain, so that Abel could not think. In order for people to understand this, they must understand that Cain represents evil and Abel represents the human will. The human will was created by Almighty God Allah to do good. So Cain killed not the physical body of Abel, but Cain killed the spiritual life of Abel. This is what the story of Cain and Abel represent in our human life in regards to the downfall of African Americans in not following their own leadership, but following outside leadership in choosing a people other than their own people to guide them. Thank you again for listening to our broadcast show. Now I have for you, without any further delay, Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Assalamu alaikum, my beautiful listening radio audience. We are grateful and we are thankful to our Creator, Allah, for blessing us today to be able to be with you again this Sunday to try to bring to you a message through the mercy and the will of Allah that will help you to understand the purpose of life. You know, the purpose of life, we look out in the world today and we see that people are destroying themselves, destroying their families, their children. They are destroying the environment that we live in. When Almighty Allah created the world for us to enjoy, He created it, the world as a heaven meaning a place of tranquility, joy, peace, happiness, no killing, no sorrow. Yes. That's one of the commandments, thou shalt not kill. That's one of the first commandments. Allah said He created life sacred. So we should not be so quick to want to kill. We should not be so quick to want to hurt, because that's going against the nature of all creation. Allah created all creation with the nature of good. So with that said, we open with the opening prayer of the Quran, a chapter of the Quran, the Holy Quran, the final revelations of Almighty Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Amen. That is, we said, with the name of Allah, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. And we give praise, all praise to Allah, the Cherisher and Sustainer of all the worlds, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, Master, Ruler of the Day of Judgment. Thee alone do we seek, and thine aid we ask. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace and favor, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray. Amen. With that said, I again want to greet you in the beautiful greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum, it means peace be unto you all. Today's topic, bear patiently with me. I want to let Almighty Allah take me into a topic that I myself am interested in, as well as interested in sharing it with you all. The story begins in the beginning when Allah, or the Creator, created Adam and Eve, the first man and woman. And they, Adam and Eve, had two children, Cain and Abel. Now, you know, you think about family life, and you think, and I know because I was a child that was not all the way like Cain, but I, you know, wanted my mother to, you know, kind of favor me, just like she did my brother, and she didn't, and I used to wonder why. Well, you know, and she used to always say, "I don't make no difference in none of my children," and she didn't, but it was just that I was more of mischief. You know, I got into more things than my brother, as far as, you know, doing mischief things, and you know, and that's true. I did. I mean, that's the type of little boy I was. You know, I did mischief, and I was doing things I wasn't supposed to do, and she had to whip me more than him. And I understand that. As I grew later on in life, I understood I needed everything she gave me, because had not she gave me tough love, I wouldn't be living today. And I know that, based on the laws of Allah, a karma. When you do evil, you get evil. When you do good, you get good back. That's what I'm basing that on. Anyway, with that said, I just want to say Cain, the son of Adam, he got jealous of his brother, Abel, because Adam and Eve, they took special care of Abel, because they seen him to be a child like we see children today, that we see great potential in them to be world leaders, good leaders. They are. You can just feel the spirit of Allah in them. You can see it in the way they talk. They talk with so much wisdom to be little children. And you know also, I like to put in with this, you know, Almighty Allah don't change. He, the blessed prophet Esau, the one the Christians call Jesus, his name is really Esau. He blessed him to talk as a child in the in the cradle, to defend his mother from the slander of those ungodly Jews in that day and time, in the time of Jesus, a prophet Esau 2,000 years ago. So, you see, Cain got jealous of Abel because Abel was getting too much attention, he said, from his mother and father, and he felt like he was supposed to have been getting that attention, but he wasn't doing right. Cain was mischief. Cain was one like I said I was. He liked to get into things wrong, doing things his mother and father told him that he shouldn't do. He would do that, just the opposite. And Abel would do what he was told. He was obedient. He was an obedient child. He did good. He had manners, respect for his mother and father. Cain was the type of child who liked to talk back to the mother, talk back to the father disrespectfully. And so they still cared about him, and they tried to raise him right, Adam and Eve, but he just didn't want to do right. So Cain became what you call a rebel. And when he became a rebel against his mother and father's godly authority, then the Satan began to whisper to him. And he began to listen at the Satan. And the Satan began to tell him, whisper to him things about his brother that you should really just get rid of him, and then you can get all the favor of your mother and father. And he thought about it now. He thought about it. He didn't just jump and do it. He thought about his Cain, and finally Satan got to him through his false desires and, his ego, and he said, he plotted to kill him, his brother Abel. And so he eventually killed him, and he tried to cover his shame of what he had did, killed his brother, murdered his brother with lies, you see. And so what am I saying, people? What am I getting at? We have to understand the beginning in order to know where we're at now and in order to know where we're going in the end. If you don't know where you come from, it's impossible to know where you're going. Now, listen at the word Cain. Cain, let's bring some derivative or root words out of Cain. Cocaine, for one, cocaine. Now, who came up with cocaine? Cain did. Who is Cain? Satan. Satan impersonified in the human body. The devil, Satan, got workers out here work for him, and he encouraged them to create dope, alcohol. He encouraged them to promote homosexuality. He encouraged them to promote lesbianism, child molestation, killing people, eating their flesh, blowing up buildings, killing thousands, millions of innocent people. This is the work of the Satan. So all culminate in vices, or vices that come into our life, they come through the whisper of the Satan to our own desires, being unguided by Allah. You see, Almighty Allah say all the good that happens in our life come from Allah, and all the bad that happens in our life, it comes from Allah. Come from ourselves. Let me correct that. All the good in our life, Allah say, come from Allah. And all the bad, he say, come from ourselves. So this is how the Satan get in our life and whisper suggestions like he did Cain. And we entertain those evil suggestions, and then after thinking about them so much, then we begin to act on them. So Almighty God, Allah told Adam and Eve when they was in heaven, they weren't on earth then, he told them, listen, I'm going to create a garden for you to live in, and I'm going to provide for you all the things you need, the food you need to eat, everything you need. And on top of that, I'm going to come to you every day and give you guidance. Okay? He said, now, I'm going to give you instructions also. He said, there are trees in this garden. All of them are good. They bear good fruit. He said, I want you to understand, you can eat from all of these trees, but there's one tree in the garden I want you to stay away from. Because if you eat from that particular tree in the midst of the garden, you will surely die. Now, since Adam and Eve didn't have a body, what kind of death was Allah talking about? He was talking about a spiritual death. A spiritual death. And so when Adam and Eve ate of that tree, they began to die spiritually. And then in their death, they cried out to Allah. And they asked Allah, forgive us. We didn't intentionally do it. We just got weak. And in a moment of weakness, the chief deceiver, you call him, he got us. But we beg your forgiveness. And Allah forgave them. And they earned his grace. And they still with Allah in his heaven. Okay? Now, on the law plane, us as Adam and Eve descendants, children, down here on this earth, we have what's called free will. And with that free will, we are responsible for our choices we make. We can choose good or we can choose evil. So now it's your choice. Everybody get evil whispered to them every day. Everybody get good whispered to them every day. It's your choice. Who are you going to follow, the good whisper or the evil? The evil is Satan. The good is God, Allah. So what I want to say is that the government of the United States, the Europeans, the Jews, they represent the children of Cain. And the United States government and the Jews over in Israel, they are just like Hitler. They talk about Hitler, but they are worse than Hitler because at least Hitler came out and told you what he was going to do and did it. The United States government and the Israel government, they are an England government. They are nothing but murderers, robbers, and thieves because they are the descendants, the children of Cain. And they try to hide their murdering Muslims and black people, people of color, with lies. And now most black people in America and around the world, but mostly in America, they believe these lies. They come on the TV and they tell you all kinds of lies while they justify murdering millions of Muslims, millions of black people in Africa, and millions of Muslims. They have influenced Muslims, not because they made the Muslims come under their influence, because most Muslims have left the Quran and the Sunnah. The way that Prophet Muhammad lived, they have left that way. And then by dividing up into groups, the enemy plan has always been divide and conquer. And so he have conquered the Muslims today because they are divided. And the only way the Muslims are going to take back over this world with Al-Islam, which can only take over this world, the whole truth and the nothing but the truth, Al-Haq in the Quran, the whole truth, is by following without deviation and without bid'ah innovations, the Quran, the Holy Quran, and the Sunnah, the pure life example of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him. So at this time, I'm going to stop because I do want some guests to give some feedback so that we can all work this out together and paint a picture so that others listening can hear, so they can understand why they're in the condition they're in and how we can come out of this condition, this bad, terrible condition we're in. So at this time, I'm going to greet you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Imam Shahid Shabazz. Well, again, he's coming on strong. And thank you, our beautiful radio listening audience, for joining us this morning. I want to remind you that you're listening to the radio broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, The Reality of the Creator. Today, our discussion is on an analogy of Cain killing Abel. Huh? What do we say about that? We never thought about Cain and Abel from that viewpoint. We always took it as a story that was being told, as children do. Most of us heard about Cain and Abel and our religious teachings from childhood. And we always grew up looking at this, listening to this story with just one perspective. And now he is giving you more, deeper, and profound insight as to that story and the meaning of it, what it relates to. So I'm going to try to get some of these guests we have here this morning. We have a 240 number, a 919 number, and I'm going to try to see if they might have comments. The first one's going to begin with the first from the 240-427-7234.
Hello.
I believe, greetings to you. I assalamu alaikum. How are you? Thaddeus, right?
Assalamu alaikum, family. Hope y'all doing well on this beautiful Sunday. I was listening to what you were saying, and I've had the same thing happen in my life with my brother. I'm the middle child. I have a younger sister. My brother's the oldest. I'm the middle. And my mother favored me more so than my brother. And she had my brother when she was 17. And he was more so of the one that tried to, you know, move out and run away from home and come back when he wants to. And that's never been me. And I was always more so stuck more close to home. We both had our trouble making days, but I was the one that more so when my mother or father was mad with me, I listened and I didn't try to fight them and combat them when they were talking in, and they saw that in me. And so I share that as well, and I believe in what you're saying, and that they can see the difference in the wisdom in children, because my brother is still falling for some of the things, or he used to fall for some of the things they try to prevent him from falling into. And me, I'm just totally repelled against it, like single marriage, going out to club in one night stands. That's never really been my thing, whereas that's been his thing. And to the second point you brought up about Palestine, Israel being just like Hitler, or the Palestine Israel problem, how the Jews over there are just like Hitler, they are. And I'm kind of glad a little bit the international community is waking up slowly to it, but they need to be a lot more rapid, of course, but slowly waking up to it, with the UK trying to, some people in the UK trying to say that they need to be some sanctions placed on Israel. And how Obama is not conducive for them right now to support Israel. That's also been more so of a Republican thing than the Democrats anyway, because, you know, the Democrats, the Republicans are more so, or at least they think they are, more so Christian-based, and they when they so you talk bad about Israel, they say, well, that's the Bible. That's their land. We did the right thing in moving the Palestinians off of their land. That's historically been theirs. And it's just, it's always been more conducive to them. I believe Obama would have done the same thing if his main job was not to stop and prevent the economic growth of Africa, because that's been his biggest achievement, you could say, for the establishment, is to kill Gaddafi, all while knowing that he provided 90% of the jobs in Libya. And look at Libya today, with civil war, there's rebels everywhere, militias being formed, all off of poor economic stability. That wasn't a problem when he was there. And the more I learn about Gaddafi, the more enraged I become that so many Americans were so willing to destroy a man that said that he said the black race is going to rule the planet again. And it's going to start with if the continual progress of Africa keeps it, the education, the literacy, if they keep that up, they're going to take over the world. And seeing how he was so pro his people, that it's just amazing the things I learned about him. His own secret military were women, African women, that were his bodyguards. That was his secret service. And the martial arts that they knew, and how good of shooters they were, and it's just brilliant seeing that, and the reason why he wanted them to be African women, and that they were warrior queens, and that you would never think an African woman or a woman in general could combat you like that. You always would be more so suspecting of the men than the women. And also is the problems that's going on with currently South Africa. I don't know if you guys heard, they released a story yesterday. I don't know how big it was on TV, because I don't watch any TV, but in South Africa, Obama has threatened extreme sanctions on South Africa because they don't want our chickens. Our chickens last year, they had an outbreak of the bird flu, and they traced it back to America. So then they said, we don't want any of your chickens. We're good trading everything else, but we don't want your chickens. Obama just said that because they never need the chickens anyway. They have enough chickens over there. But he said, well, if you don't accept our chickens, we're going to not going to give you. We're going to cut you off, sanction you. And that $7 million we promised we were going to give you, we're not going to give it to you. And also the nuts, the oranges, and there was something else. I can't remember, but those things that come from South Africa over here, he said, no, we're not going to take that either. And they said it will lose an estimated like $115 million in revenue if he does that. When the South African president is pretty much crying out, like, let's do something, let's work something out. Is there any other way? And the whole purpose is him looking out for his people and saying that we don't have the research to make sure that your chickens are not going to have another outbreak. And these people, it's clear to me that the Democratic Party has an active agenda against, no matter what the face is, an active agenda against black people. Because these are the descendants of the slave masters that when the Confederates lost, they ran up north. The ones that are down south were the poor rednecks that were the indentured servants. They are the ones that are really in the south. And I believe a lot of black people, we get it twisted by playing this game just because the Democrats mention our name. Sure. The Republicans don't care about us, but the Democrats have an active agenda against us. Because to them, we are the lower class, and we're supposed to be the lower class forever and eternity in their minds. And also the problems that our brothers and sisters are going through in Brazil. They're still being slaughtered, but they're coming together, but they're not coming together fast enough. And also what our brothers and sisters are going through in Israel is a huge problem, because the prime minister told them that you can either – accept the way life is over here in Israel or go back to Africa. And they said, you can go back to Africa or we're going to put you in prison. And the sterilizations of the Ethiopian women, all these things. I just hate that East African people are more so kind-hearted than West Africans and Africans that have slave roots. We're more likely to buck at you and ready to go to war at versus the East Africans. East Africans haven't had that spirit ever since Selassie. Selassie was the last one that said they didn't care. You have better weapons, better technology, doesn't matter. We're going to win this war. And they did it. And because they had God on their side, and they were about themselves, and they understood they were fighting a righteous fight.
Okay, Brother Thaddeus, mm-hmm. What you're saying is magnificent. It's awesome. You sound so clear, intelligent, and your points are right on point. But we do, I think, have another guest, and I want to bring them on. But you was magnificent. I want to get back with you on that, too, because that is where we at. We got to go right to the government. That's where the problem is. The problem is. With certain governments of this world, and we know who they are. You just named them. So we're going to get back to them. We're going to expose them. But let's get this guest here on.
Oh, yes. Yeah, brother.
Okay. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Thaddeus. We always love to have you. If you can just stay on, we'll be with you again in a minute. But we want others to express themselves, too, and give a comment or ask their question. We have a 919 number now that I'm bringing on. Not really that, Brother Larry, I'm not sure. Brother Larry.
Yes, that's what I'm
making. Malika, my friend, how are you this morning?
This morning. Good morning to you all and the distant audience. It's a great show. Good to hear you, Brother Thaddeus. I hadn't heard from you. Hadn't heard your voice in a while. It's good to hear from you and bringing about some knowledge and good input there. A lot of things you just spoke about there, it just opened my mind. I hadn't heard anything. I mean, I'm not up on that. But Brother Shahid, good morning. And
good morning to you, Brother Larry. Assalamu alaikum.
Good morning, sister. I know we talked about your topic about Cain and Abram. I've heard some story of Cain and Abram, so I remember just listening to Brother Thaddeus there about his coming up with his brother and all. And, you know, I often, it's rather strange to me in a roundabout way, I'll say it used to be that, you know, I came from a large family. My mom had 9 boys and 1 girl, and, of course, I was raised by a grandmother, which raised, you know, it was like a potluck family. You know, you got living in the house with a first cousin, a second cousin, and so she just raised us all up together as kids. And the thing that you say about Satan whispering in your ear, and that's where we get these evil practices and things from, which caused us to be a downfall, or caused it to be a downfall in human nature.
That's right.
I've heard families say that you can't. You know, my father, somebody might say, for instance, that I treat all my kids alike. I don't love one more than the other one. And I always had some problem with that because I don't really, God, you know, Allah blesses who he chooses, you know, when he chooses, you know. So to me, it's like I don't think you can really treat all your kids the same way. I mean, you can be just and right with them. You can be honest and you can somewhat put it out there for them to make, you know, if you want to give them a choice to make. But some people, you can't just treat them all the same way. You can't.
That's right.
You can't. Because people are different in personality. People are different in mindset and thought. So it's hard to say, well, I'll do the same thing for this one as I would do for that one. Because even in the story of the prodigal son, I mean, the father loved both his kids, but one kid wanted his money and wanted his goods and his earnings, and so he ran off into the city. But then the father loved his son, but when he gave him his money, he ran off and wallowed in the sin and blew all his money. Now, as I say, that don't stop him from loving him, but if you want to save your kid, or save your loved one, sometimes you can't give them what they want. You
That's
make
right.
them trust them with some things that you cannot entrust any other one with, you know. Thaddeus was just mentioned about his brother that, you know, that may have loved women and other things more so, and he wasn't that type person. And then again, you know, you can love your family as Cain and Abraham. You can love your two children, but when Satan or bad habits or come upon one versus the other one, then now you as a father, you have to make that separation. You have to make that distinct separation. And then again, as it says, Allah chooses who he wants when he wants to. So just because Allah may bless one of one child more so than the other, but doesn't mean that he don't love all his family, all his children. But you know, he may bless one right now before the other one. Some kids learn certain things before other children, and I think the biggest downfall. What it brings back to me that the biggest downfall in human nature, As I have observed and even some of the reasons, the biggest downfall in human nature was jealousy. So once that jealousy come in to the family, come in to the realm of the set of the people, then you will find problems. You know, a lot of times we're not jealous because one has more than I do. As long as we're not jealous about that, everything is fine. You know, if I'm not jealous because you have more knowledge than me, you know, you're a better speaker than me. If I'm not jealous about that, everything is fine. If I'm not jealous because you make money, a bit more money than I do, then it's fine. But it's just that when you get jealous about these things, That's when the problem come in. As I said again, the biggest downfall in human nature was jealousy. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, Brother Larry. Very beautiful. Very well put. Very well said. You are absolutely, totally correct. No one in the, on the planet can deny that the biggest vice that causes the downfall of humanity is jealousy. Because even in the beginning, when you know there was no human beings, even in existence, Almighty Allah, He told all the angels, I am about to create man. You remember the story? And in Him saying that, all the angels, they agreed. First of all, the angels didn't know what Allah, their creator, the all-knowing, was talking about, but He was explaining to them, I'm going to create a man. And He said that I'm going to create this man. And He said, I'm going to, after I create him, I'm going to put some of my spirit in him. The angels, they responded. They didn't know. They said, well, you know, when you create one, you know, that will shed mischief and spread blood, and spread mischief on the earth. And Allah said to them, I know what you know not. So what Allah was saying to the angels is this, is that when I create man and I put my divine good spirit into man, man is going to be just like me. Not a god, but he would be God-like. He would have my qualities. So he wouldn't spread mischief or shed blood among his own humankind. So when Allah said that, all the angels said, okay, we accept you creating man. Now, one angel in particular stood out, Iblis, the one we call the devil. He said, I can't do that. He said, I can't submit to man that you're going to create out of clay, out of mud. He said, you created me out of fire. I'm better than he. So you see, right there is the beginning of jealousy, period. That's when jealousy came into existence. It was through the devil. He didn't want to submit to us, human beings. He didn't want to submit to the plan of Allah to create human beings that Allah was going to create that wasn't made out of the nature of fire. And I want to explain that if I can. The nature of fire is like this. Allah created Satan from a fire of a scorching wind. So the nature of fire, I've explained this from various times. If a fire starts in this room right here, if you don't put the fire out, it'll burn up this whole building. Because the nature of fire is to spread and destroy. And jealousy brings about a type of metaphorical in nature in people where they, I've had one young lady say, if I can't have you, nobody can have you. And she was actually trying to kill me. She was so jealous of me. Every time a woman passed by me, and I couldn't help, I got eyes, I see her. She was, you want that, you know, B-I-C-T-A, and this type of thing. So she was actually trying to kill me. She busted me in the head, and a lot of stuff trying to, I don't hold it against her. But I'm just saying, jealousy brings about murder. Okay? Jealousy brings about hatred. And these same people that we're talking about, that is you, me, and the government, the rich people, they are jealous of the poor people, not in a way like you say you're jealous, you know, just about the money, but they really see good in the poor, and they don't have that good, the rich people. Even though they got all the money, the fame, the fortune, look in the tabloids and the newspaper. You see how many rich people are killing themselves, committing suicide. That's because they're not happy. You cannot buy happiness. You cannot buy peace. You see, money can't do that. You can go to the hospital. I was just in there. They cannot heal you. Only the Creator, Allah, can heal you. And in fact, they're not in the business of healing you no way, medicine. You know, they're not in the business of healing. If they healed you, you wouldn't come back. They wouldn't make all the trillions and trillions of dollars they make. No, they're just to give you a Band-Aid, and I say that like a patch-up job to keep you coming back and make all the money they can off you till you die, and then take your organs and use them for rich white and black people, rich people, especially whites and Jews, and for them they're trying to prolong their life, physical life on this earth. Because they don't want, Allah say they don't want to die, the ungodly Jews and Gentiles, and say they wish they could live a life of 1,000 years around here, taking people money, oppressing people, practicing usury, that is adding interest on money. That's the worst form of oppression Allah say on the planet, and killing Allah's people. But the problem solving is for us to understand that we have the same God, the same Creator, and that He loves us all equally. But He don't love the wrong that we do. He loves the good that we do, because He created us with His nature, which is good. He created the nature of good in all of us. Even He created the nature of good in Cain. But we can change our nature by listening at the whispers of the devil. And he whispers to us every day through our own self. But we have a choice. We can listen and accept and follow, or do not listen, reject, and don't follow the whisper. But the key is that we can't do these things on our own. We're weak as human beings. Our strength is in obeying the word of Allah, which gives us the strength to resist evil. And we have something in Arabic, the language there, that is, called dhikr. And dhikr means remembrance of Allah. And as long as you're in remembrance of Almighty God in your actions and everything you do, evil can't stand in the presence of truth. The devil will stay away from around you. And if you think about God, Allah, so much and all the time, he won't, and you will strive to obey him the best you can, the devil will be look at you as being beyond his reach, and he'll leave you alone altogether. This is what Allah says. So this is what we should be striving to get. Strive to become more righteous. Strive to become, don't matter about all the evil you see people doing around you, you're responsible for yourself. And one person can make such a big difference in the world. Like you, Thaddeus, I think, was talking about Obama, and it's true. Obama, even though he's the president of the United States, he don't have no power. He have to follow the dictates of the Senate and all the rest of what make up the government. He don't have no power. He just represents a sign of what's to come. But he don't have no power to make no changes and bring about unity in the Muslim world and create that unity between the Israelis and the Palestinians. He don't have the power. The only one got the power to bring the world back to order is the same one who did it thousands and thousands of years ago, ever since the world, he created the world. That's Allah. And the only way Allah is going to change the world, Allah say the people got to change the condition of their hearts. And the Muslims have not changed the conditions of their hearts. And we know the Christians haven't changed the conditions of their hearts. And the Jews haven't either. So, but Allah ain't waiting on the Christians and the Jews. He's waiting on the Muslims. Soon as the Muslims change the conditions of their heart and start uniting and quit fighting among each other, and black people quit fighting among each other and turn back to Allah and submit to His will wholeheartedly, sincerely, He will change the conditions. He'll take this government from these old ungodly Republicans, Democrats, independents, whoever you want to call, and He will give it to us. Obama is just a sign that Allah is going to take the government from these whites and Jews and give it back to the originators of the true government of God, which is the black man, the original black man that was created in the beginning. The government of the world began with black leadership in Africa, and it's going to end with the same righteous black people in America, Europe, and China, Japan, and the whole world. At this time, I want to let anybody else, Brother Larry, Daddy's comment, Sister Isla, co-host comment, because as I said, I don't want to talk more than you all today. I want everybody to have an equal opportunity to see. So peace be with you all. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum, and thank you, Imam Shaheed Shabazz. I want to remind everyone that you're listening to the radio broadcast of Imam Shaheed Shabazz, the reality of the Creator, which comes on every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Today's discussion is an analogy of Cain killing Abel. And, wow, it's such a beautiful discussion. There's just so much that you can get from this, so much insight, so many perspectives, things that you just didn't think about life. And that's what it's all about. It's about us understanding who we are and whose we are. We see here two people. They're representing characteristics. They're representing personalities. They're representing the conducts of people. One's conduct is very arrogant and jealous. The other is innocent, God-fearing, humble. So it shows what can happen when you allow yourself to have these conducts take over you and control you, to allow yourself to control you. And instead of being humble and submitting to the spirit within you, God's spirit within you, and this is necessary for man to see. The reason why it's necessary for him to follow and obey the laws that his Creator has placed on earth, not the laws of man, because man's laws are for self. They're selfish laws. They are really no laws. And they allow a person to do what they want to do.
Correct.
And think that it's okay. And the song says it's okay, do your own thing, you know.
It's your thing.
It's your thing. Do what you want to do. All of this, sending out messages of evil for man to do not, for a man to grow himself towards his Creator and to be turned back home to his Creator, but to destroy himself in evilness and in destruction of one another. So we have to be very careful. We have to learn from these stories that they have messages in there. They're just not stories for entertainment. And it is showing that also we were talking about the choices of parents and being on the parent side and being a woman too. I'm looking at this as saying, and I would say that it's not showing, the parents are not showing a difference in their children, but what they are doing, they are treating their children according to their conduct, see. And in doing that, and being a loving parent, you let their child know that I can't treat you with your type of conduct. I got to treat the other one. And let you know you've got to get it together. But the child himself becomes arrogant and jealous and rebels and continues in that conduct. He doesn't want to do right. He wants to do wrong. He wants to have it his way. So therefore, he has to suffer those consequences. Why didn't Abel fight back? Wow. Why didn't Abel fight back? Have you asked yourself this question? Why didn't he try to defend and save himself from his brother? Well, but you said, no, because Abel was young and their brother was stronger. Sometimes the young ones like us, and Goliath and David, the young ones can outdo the big ones and beat them. But no, I don't think that was the reason why. The reason why is that it's a greater message in this. Abel was very spiritual and upright, and he had a lot of faith in his Creator, and he was wise enough to know that he was not a physical body that's supposed to be living on this material earth forever and gaining all the material accomplishments of it, but that he was going to return back to his Creator, his eternal home, and be in a much better world and live a much better life than this that he was living on earth with his Creator. So he didn't mind. He sacrificed himself to send a message to his brother about the reality of life. And in that, he was hoping that his brother might change and become a better person.
Beautiful.
So we have to understand that all these stories that we're reading, spiritual stories, and even through our little, what do they call it, that they have for the little baby nursery rhymes and all these things, all of them are sending out messages.
Yes, they are.
They're not just entertaining you for ha-ha, hee-hee, laughter, and joy, and fun. No, they're serious messages in these about life.
That's right.
And they are written on incidents and circumstances about people in life.
That's right.
like the nursery rhyme, Jack and Jill went up the hill. It's a very, I can't remember exactly what Imam Wafi Muhammad talks about. It was a very serious story relating to African Americans' condition here in America. And there was another one, too, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall.
Yes.
These two were very short. Now, one, I think, related to Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, was telling about the African Americans, the higher position we had as a people, as rulers of the earth, and how here in America we lost that position and became as like the lowest of the low on earth. They fell down from that high position, not because we wanted to, because we were tricked again and deceived and to become the lesser people on earth and to lose that high position that our Creator had put us in. And the way we have to get it back would not be from acquiring this world's knowledge and materialism.
That's right.
But in the spiritual knowledge of who we are and striving to please our Creator, our merciful Creator, Almighty God, Allah. And, of course, the other one regarded a little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and can't tell where to find them. Says it's letting us know that, but don't worry. There's someone who sent to us to show us the way back home. And we would get back home eventually. So we look at these now, and once we see these stories that are being put out here, even today, we look beyond the entertainment of it and ask what the message is in it. Again, I want to thank all of you for joining us, Brother Larry, and Patty, spoke of you. Stay on the line. We'll be back with you. I'm going to turn the show back over now to Imam Shahid Shabazz so that he can give us some more of the beautiful teachings and the understanding of the meaning of Adam killing Abel. I mean, Cain killing Abel. Forgive me, sir.
Yes, I'm not going to be long, my dearly beloved listening audience, but something came to me as my beautiful wife and co-host was explaining so eloquently and beautifully about the story of Cain and Abel, even better than me. But I want to say this. You know, you speak of Cain. Cocaine comes from Cain. They got Novocaine. What do Cain, cocaine, and Novocaine do? It alters your state of mind. It puts you in a state where you are thinking you're feeling good, but you're suffering, but you suffer peacefully. You suffer without even realizing that the damage you're doing to you, it makes you feel like you ain't got no worries, no cares, while the enemy is destroying you all the time. While you be in that chair, like Malcolm X said, they shoot that Novocaine in you, it doesn't mean a lot of time. And you can feel that, but they psychologically tell you that Novocaine, that's why knowledge is so important. Say, it's numbing it. And they telling you it's numbing you, and you feeling it at the same time, but you're accepting what they're telling you. And cocaine is the same way. Cocaine makes you think you ain't got a worry in the world. And, boy, you going down fast, your family going down, everything going down, and you just feel like you're on cloud nine. Everything is all right. I'm doing fine up here on cloud nine. So I also want to say this, that white, Almighty God Allah didn't create colors. He created the human race. So where did racism come in at? Racism came in from the followers of Satan, Cain, the Canaanites. They themselves call themselves white, and they call 65% of the people of the earth black. We were people of color. I mean, you know, and ain't nothing wrong with the word black, because technically everything that we see come out of darkness into light. Almighty God, Allah said in the beginning, it was darkness upon the face, meaning the heavens and the earth. It was completely dark. And he's the one that said, separated the darkness from the light. And he said, let there be light. And he created light. And he called that day. And he said, let there be night. And he called that the darkness night. So I was sharing with some people the other night, If you think about it, we know in Webster's Dictionary, everything that is said to be right is white. And everything that's said to be black, dark, black is bad. We have to understand the psychological effects that not only this have on us as African American, but as a people, Asiatic people. Now, the other day on Facebook, you had two white policemen, and they was going back and forth saying how it's all right to kill these black niggers because they ain't nothing but animals anyway, and they deserve to be killed like an animal. So what am I saying? That's the problem with most black people in America. They don't want to deal with racism. We live racism every day. We breathe racism every day, like Malcolm X said. You can't get away from racism. This country, the United States of America, was founded on racism. Israel, the government over in Israel, was founded on racism. The government of England was founded on racism, and it is going to remain that way until Allah stops it and until we, as a people of color, come together in unity and turn back to our Creator, Allah, and He will change it just like He did with Pharaoh, with the children of Israel down in Egypt under the Egyptians. History don't change, brothers and sisters. We got to make a personal change in our life, and we got to understand that we as a people, in order to know how we are supposed to live, we got to go back and understand and study the one that gave us life. And what is his plan? He gave us a plan, like my wife always says. Almighty Allah gave us a manual. You know, it's a manual for that car. Last night, my automobile wouldn't start. And I started thinking about the manual of the car, how the car was built, and doing a process of elimination. And Allah blessed me to find out what it was. And He blessed the crank up and get me going. That's the same way we're going to go. We got to find out what the problem is. Why are we acting like we're acting as black people? You got this black Republican Carson or whatever his name is running for president, and you got a lot of people attention on who's going to be the next president and the government. What's going to happen when Obama come out? I'll tell you what's going to happen when Obama come out, the will of Almighty God Allah. And if you ain't a part of his will, the government going to be destroyed. I can't promise you nothing. The Creator Allah promised you that all wicked governments going to be destroyed. They destroy, and the brother was right about Gaddafi. I understand Imam Gaddafi was going to try to get, he was working on getting the African continent and the African American to pull our economics together, bring our economic resources together, and so we could survive and be a one nation and bring back the Africans and the African Americans together as one. So he was doing a lot of great things. And any great leader that's trying to unite the people of color together, these ungodly pale-skinned Jews and pale-skinned white people and pale-skinned Arabs and pale-skinned people, period, they all work together in cahoots, the Rockefeller, the Mellon, the DuPont, these old rich so-called five families or six families or rich people, they will come together and they will put a roadblock there. They'll kill them. They kill them. That's what they do. They kill Malcolm X. They kill Martin Luther King. They kill Gaddafi. They kill Saddam Hussein. They kill President Kennedy. They kill anybody that wants to try to help liberate or free people of color. These old pale skin, blonde hair, blue-eyed devils call themselves Jews and white folks. Yeah, I'm talking about them. And these old Arabs, too, over there taking the money that belongs to all Muslims in the world. And not just the Muslims, but belong to all people, because the Muslims are supposed to help the people in the world. We are supposed to be one. But you don't have that oneness because you have, first of all, people accepting that all things ain't going to change, so we might as well just go on and just try to live and have a good time and let things be as they are. Things won't get no better if we just let it be. You got to make a change in yourself. Don't worry about what nobody else is doing. What can you do to make a change? That's the question you should ask yourself. At this time, Brother Larry, Brother Thaddeus, if you're still on, you're welcome to come on with a comment.
Yeah, brother, you said a lot of potent stuff there. You just hit it right on the head. It's a system, man, and I feel really bad because I was too one of the black folks that were suckered into, you know, the whole Obama wave and wanting to see a first black president and things of this nature and not truly analyzing things politically. But as I get older, I'm seeing how politics really work and how the quickest way to get us to stop thinking politically is to call the other person a racist. We need to get out of this and thinking it's because sometimes you need to think somehow the enemy of my enemy is my best friend. And if Donald Trump wants to shift the attention from black people to Hispanics, illegal immigrants, and will deal with them, then why not allow him to do that? And it helps us, benefits us, and create more jobs here for us. And it can create more of an honest country out of us, you could say, if there is a such thing as that. And it's things like that, because I don't know if you heard, this publication has been going around saying that he said that Africans were lazy, thugs, only good for lovemaking. It's been going around a lot, and a lot of people have been posting on Facebook trying to post it as fact. I keep asking them, if Donald Trump really said these things, why isn't every news outlet outing him, you know? Even Fox News, they would be like, what the hell is he thinking? Like, black folks were going to vote for him until he said this. But black folks are going behind and agreeing with what's being said solely because it's typical, stereotypical nature of a white Republican, you know? And if the black Republican, he's a sellout. And some of these things, they do have historical weight, of course, but we should not automatically, we need to question who says these things instead of just saying that it's fact, because the people that have been posting this is Snopes. They are a known satirical, political satirical publication, and they post everything is fake up there. Nothing is real. They posted a story saying that ISIS said that black people, they joined them, that they're going to help liberate them and all these other things. These are fake publications. They're known for it. They tell you, we're just here to crack jokes. All these stories are fake. They posted it, and as well as Politica. The Hispanics have an agenda to help try to sucker black people in to help keep the legal documented immigrants over here, which, you know, is that it's so easy to play on our emotions that we do not think with our heads, and we think more so with our emotions. Politics is more so charisma
that's
and
right.
logic. And that's all I have to say.
Well, you know, you've said a lot. I mean, you know, I love the last statement because me and somebody was talking about that last night. Black people of America, we have been so brainwashed. We have been so programmed that we are not a people that think. We are people of emotions. We act on emotions rather than acting on intelligence. This is why we're the number one race of consumers in America. We consume, I think, over $1 billion and something worth of products a year. We keep the economy of the Chinese, whites, Jews, Italians, everybody in this country going but our own. We take $10, we make $10, we'll spend $9 in other communities before we spend, and spend about a dollar or less than a dollar in our own black communities. And like Malcolm X said, then we wonder why our communities are going down. The government is nothing but a game. The government, and what you call a game, and when you got a game, you got a plan. It's called a game plan. So you got a game first, and then you got a plan how you're going to work that game. And they have done a masterful job in, programming us through slavery so that they could work that game on us, and we all would play our part in that game. And playing our part means don't think for yourself. Let white people think for you and the overseers, the house niggas. like the Carson guy. They put a black man out there like Obama and Carson and others. You know Colin Powell quit the government. You know, what's his name, Eric Holder, he quit. Because they seen the beginning of the end. They seen that this wicked government called America, evil got to come to evil. That's common sense. So they knew that this government was coming to an evil end. And it is, and ain't nobody, and nothing can stop it. The same with Israel over there fighting the war against those Palestinians. That's not their homeland. They came over there and took it, just like they came over here to America and took the land from the Indians and then went to Africa and took us and brought us over here. All of that is getting ready to stop. So, you know, but in order for it to get better for black people per se, you got to get your own life together as an individual. See, we got to narrow the world down to ourselves. When you're a judge on the day of judgment, you're not going to be judged by the white man. You're not going to be judged by a Jew or a black. You're going to be judged by the Creator, who you can't see. And he's going to judge you based on your choice. He ain't going to say, well, the white man made you as a black man do this, or you as a black person made a white man do something. No, nobody can make nobody do nothing. I mean, we have choice. But you don't have a choice when you can't think. So black people, for the most part up until now, we ain't been able to make no correct choices because we ain't been able to think. What we've been able to do is reacting to, you know, the lies that the whites and the Jews have been telling us. And we've been putting our hope and trust in white people and Jews because in the Bible, ever since we've been here for over 500-something years, they made the God white. They gave us, they took our religion, our way of life, Islam, gave us their false doctrine of Christianity, which never existed in Jesus' time. Their language won't even in the sign. There was no, so he don't even know nothing about a word called Christianity, Jesus, or Prophet Esau. Anyway, they gave us a white God, white angels, or a white Son of God, a white Holy Spirit. So everything that was godly was white. So most black people now, just for instance, you can take one white police come in a neighborhood. It'd be about 20 black guys out there. He can get them all under control just by his presence. On the other hand, you can take 10 black police come in a black neighborhood. The blacks will kill them all. Why is this? Racism, racial hatred, the hatred of black people against themselves, and the fear that black people have in them of white people that come from slavery. They put fear in us of them. So, you know, Obama, as I said again, he just was the first black president based on skin color, but he's a sign of what was to come soon. There's a saying, those in the beginning were first, which was the black people, that in the end they will be first, and those that became first, the liars and the crooks and the thieves, the Gentiles and the whites and the Jews, they've been first for all this time, so their time is up there. In the last days, they will be made last, and they know it. That's why they don't know what the hell to do. They're trying to slam the black people and Islam because they know that both of them go together, that the black people of America, in particular, is the ones that Almighty Allah chose to change this world, and they trying to slam the blacks more than they ever have and talking about black. Anytime somebody talk about you a lot, they're jealous of you. They're jealous of us. They know our history. They know we were rulers. They know we were king. They know we was queen. They know we built the pyramids. They know we built America. They know we built Washington, D.C. They know George Washington Carver. They know George Washington Carver, a black man. He took a pledge and built military weapons for them in this whole country. And so Benjamin Banneker built Washington, D.C. Huh? So most black people, you don't even hear talking about this. We only have about 5 minutes, so I want to give Brother Larry, if he's still here, an opportunity to come in and just say a few words, maybe a minute. You there, Brother Larry?
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm like I'm sitting here. Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
Islam.
I enjoy the show. I really do. I'm just getting a lot of good input here this morning. And, you know, it's just surreal. And it kind of, it's enlightenment, but it's sad when you really hear it. And Brother Chay always, you know, I always say that you're the reminder. And so as you say sometime about pain, and here's the thing about pain, and as you mentioned about cocaine, here's the thing about pain. Sometimes, and I think especially in these younger generations going forward, sometimes I'm pretty guilty of myself. Sometimes it's almost like you don't want to hear where the problem lies. You know, you want to avoid it by all costs, because you don't want to feel that pain that you felt that we had. I know for myself and even yourself, people of our age, that we had back in the days of segregation. You know,
that's right.
It's good though that you be reminded of it, because if you know what happened to those that came before you, inshallah, be Allah's will that we, being intelligent people, that we would seek to avoid the same mistake that we seen that happened with the people that came before us.
That's right.
But presence of the pain that comes with it. But yeah, that again, no pain, no gain. We tend
That's
to
right.
want to avoid the pain by all means. I mean, and there again, we've been so tricked and bamboozled over the years that so you got a headache, take a pain pill. So you got a backache, take a pain pill. Rather than trying to go to the root of why I got this headache, and maybe because
you
didn't
there
get
there you go. That's right.
And maybe the fact that it could be the atmosphere that you're in, you know, but they'd rather give you a pain pill, or we'd rather take a pain pill and stay right in that atmosphere. I mean, we could be in, I mean, we got some flack, and I've done it. I could be in a liquor house or a juke joint or some club or around some a lot of loud noise, and yet I got a headache. But rather than me leaving and going into a nice, quiet place and relaxing myself, I'd rather stay there and pop me a pill, take me a BC, you know, take a snort of cocaine or pop a pill and still stay within the environment that caused the headache in the first place.
That's right.
So it's a shame, and it's also a shame that here we are as black people. When I look out right before the reality of my eyes today, this day and time, when you look out there, and you see, here's some black folk that's got a store right here. And here's some other white folk or Jews or whatever, Arab, got a store over there. You know, we'll drive by that black store to go straight down to the Arab store and get the cheaper beer and the cheaper cigarettes and the cheaper this or the cheaper that. But now, how do we stop that as black people? Now, do you compete with your prices with them, or do you let your customers, your black customers, go past you to go to somewhere else? And now, a lot of times, we are treated better. They respect us a little bit more when we come in that store because they know we're spending money. They appetize a bit more because they know likes and appetizement excites you and draws the crowd in. So, you know, as black folks and business people, we have to do a better job at selling our brand with a good attitude. You know, we got to be competitive in the prices and all like that right there. But it's just
the same, man,
because there's an African store right out here where I live on Rossboro Road, man. He's been there for a while. But he just, a few times I've been in there, and I kind of stopped, I relaxed myself and stopped myself from going in there.
Brother Larry.
I didn't stop. Yes.
Brother Larry, I don't mean to cut you. We have 1 minute. 1 minute.
Okay.
Would you say a prayer? Would you say a prayer for that 1 minute, Brother Larry?
Sure, I will.
Okay, we're ready for you.
Okay, in the name of Almighty Allah, most gracious, most merciful, I want to thank Allah for the radio station here. Thank Allah for Brother Shaheed. to remind us and his wife to remind us and of where we need to go and remind us of Allah's will and gracious and mercy. I want to thank all the listening audience, thank those that even though that we haven't reached, and may the ones that hear and be with us, may we spread the word, may we try to be merciful and graceful as Allah will, to lift up, to try to bring someone into the good word, the good news of Almighty Allah, and keep peace amongst us, Allah. Keep peace amongst our families. Keep peace amongst our road as we travel. And we give you the mercy, we give you the grace, we give you the praise, we give you the honor. And may Allah take care of us and bring us, unite us together as one. As-salamu alaykum. Allahu Akbar.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Ameen. Beautiful, beautiful prayer, Brother Larry. Thank you and Brother Thaddeus for y'all time and y'all wonderful input and on this program. It helps it a whole lot because it's not just me and my wife, but it's other people like you, intelligent brothers, that recognize what's really going on. Thank you again. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, our radio listening audience, for joining with us this Sunday. Don't forget, again, next Sunday, 10:30 a.m., same time, same number, 347-884-8511, by Imam Shahid Shabazz, The Reality of the Creator. Please invite others to join us with you. And we really appreciate Thaddeus, the comments from Thaddeus and from Brother Larry. This morning. Great show. God bless you. May Allah be with you. Bless you and have a peaceful day. As-salamu alaykum to all of you. And join us again next week.
You know, it seems like we've all been conditioned by calendars,